Now we change our direction a little bit on community connections, and of course being the first Wednesday of the month, we've got our private investigator Peter from Absolute Facts. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
Oh, it's great to have you, mate. Now, last month you couldn't be with us. You were in court, so you either got off or you were there as a witness.
Yes, I made bail again. No, just joking.
Don't say that.
No, it was interesting, actually, and we've touched on this before about sort of working a little bit in the grey rather than things being strictly black and white.
Yep.
And I was at, I can say it was the other side of town at Sunshine Magistrate Court, bright and early, looking for a particular person. Let's call him, well, Alan Collier, for example.
No, let's not.
Let's not. Anyway, so the court caught this person was paged to court, and it turned out to not be the person that we're actually after, but someone with exactly the same name. But anyway, I sat in and listened for a little bit as we do, just to see what this particular person had been up to, this particular Alan Collier had been up to.
Yeah.
And then the matters got adjourned for actually till the following day. And then I waited till we're in a public space, as you're supposed to do, and took a happy snap of this particular person, and sent it through to the persons who'd employed me to be out there to be a fly on the wall, and they said, "Oh, well, that person's actually someone of particular interest to us, but we never knew the person's name."
Fair dinkum.
Yeah, so it's funny how sometimes it's confirm and deny and yep. Work in the grey at times that you stumble across other things. So
you still haven't found the first person?
Yeah, well, no, that person's, he's still eluding authorities at the moment.
Oh, right. All right, Peter, now you've had some homework on a number of occasions that we haven't caught up with, so what have you got to... you want to start with?
Yeah, well, a little bit of a segue to what we just spoken about. I had a comment here saying perception courts lenient on crime, and you were going to ask me to make some comment or do some homework on that.
Yep.
And probably the best example of that at the moment, Alan, is the hoo-ha about the youth crime and the youth crime rate.
Yep.
And the appearance of a presumably a Latin phrase called dolly incapax. Do you know what that might be?
Never heard of it.
Okay, so D-O-L-I and then I-N-C-A-P-A-X. Mm-hmm. And what it means is it's a Latin phrase, basically saying it's a legal presumption that a child under the age of 14 lacks the capacity to be held criminally responsible.
Yeah.
And what that means is, and there's a particular 14-year-old male running around at the moment being an absolute nuisance to all and sundry, including undertaking or participating in home invasions. And the history behind part of that was under this dolly incapax clause, if you like, he'd actually had 388 criminal charges struck out since May 2021. So I'll just repeat, 388.
So how could you possibly say that a person like that didn't know what he was doing?
Well, that was the point. and then on this, the 14-year-old was at court, and the magistrate, after having 388 charges basically dismissed and then being released and going out and reoffending again, including another violent home invasion, the magistrate actually apologised to him to say that he couldn't grant him bail. So, I mean, that's when you talk about, you know, perceptions of courts being lenient, etc. Perhaps that's a very good example, and I believe the 14-year-old has reoffended again quite recently, which is a concern. And so I had a pub test question come out of this.
Yep.
Alan, this particular 14-year-old is on a refugee visa.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I'm wondering what the pub test would be in respect to about the continuing to honour a refugee visa when the person is unfortunately, very much out of control.
You would think, I'm not going to get involved, but you would think that the pub view would be that, enough's enough.
Well, deportation would be the thing, wouldn't it, you'd expect.
You would think so.
So as a result of all this youth crime, et cetera, I noticed a recent Victoria Police update saying that they're now stepped up their measures in actively checking on youths who are subject to curfews or other specific conditions of release. So that's probably obviously come about from all the noise and static that's been in the media quite recently about youth crime in general.
Yeah, it like from a perception, it doesn't seem to be getting any better, does it?
No, definitely not. It appears as if it's pretty much out of control, and there's no seems to be no discipline, and no it's very difficult for there to be any repercussions. So if you're going to get away with it, I suppose you keep doing it.
Well, that's one of the problems, isn't it? If you've had 380 charges dropped, and I'm not here to criticise the courts, I don't want to get into trouble with the courts, but if you didn't take, if the first 10 didn't stop you, 380 aren't going to stop you, 381, is it?
No, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, that was sort of my update on the perception of courts and the unfortunate predicament, I guess, therein as well. Although I did notice an article saying that the prison population had dropped over recent years.
That's it. I would have thought it would have gone up.
When they were talking about closing a couple of prisons down, I think it's Barwon Way, isn't it?
It's amazing. It amazes me that they're talking about closing. I thought that somebody told me that the magistrates couldn't lock too many up because they were run out of space, but that doesn't seem to be the case at all, does it?
Yeah, I had that impression as well, so I was a little surprised about prison close, although there is a new prison opening, isn't there? So,
but I thought that was to be an additional one, not the closed one, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I did pick up on that the numbers are apparently dropping. So anyway, never mind.
Peter, I've got to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more. I'm sure you've got some more homework to tell us.
I certainly have.
Well, thanks, Matt.
FM 99.1.
And welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. Peter, we've just had a listener ring in, and I won't use the colourful language he used, but he said, well, the only reason that the prisoners, the numbers of prisoners are dropping because too many are getting bail. Now, I don't think we'll comment on that, but I just thought I'd pass it on to you.
Yeah, there's quite a little bit of pressure about people being released on bail and then reoffending, and unfortunately, domestic violence is a big one on that one as well.
Mm. I actually thought that breaking bail the first time was an offence, and they could charge you with breaching bail, and then they automatically cancelled it. But some of them are on 12, 14, 15 times bail.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that many. I'm aware of a few that are on that have three or four different bails at the same time.
I know of one that's on 12.
Wow. Mm. Well, there you go.
Anyway, let's get off that. I'm not here to criticise the courts.
No, we probably shouldn't do that. No. So one of my other bits of homework, as I recall, Alan, was you were asking about scams and what sort of scams are around and what to watch out for and things like that. So I'll start that off by saying there was a recent article saying scammers love certain days, as in days of the week, and apparently they're more likely to target you on a Friday and Saturday.
Are they?
Quite often between 1 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning. So I guess you wake up, either get woken up by or wake up to a scary text in the morning. And the reason they do that is that they're trying to take advantage of potential lapse judgment, given it's the weekend and maybe you've consumed a couple of frothies along the way or something, and otherwise distracted trying to attend a family, perhaps sporting commitments or things like that. So apparently they're targeting that time of day, those days and that time of day.
Peter, I've had about 20 telling me that night or the next night they're going to shut my email account, and 20 times I've deleted it and I've still got an email account.
Yeah, well, that can happen too. So another one that's come out is the ACCC have actually put an alert out saying that watch out for an email stating that you're entitled to a cash settlement from a data breach. So people trying to take advantage. Yeah, so I guess the Optus is the obvious one from a while ago, but there's been plenty since then. And so if you receive an email saying you're entitled to, a cash settlement from a data breach, be very careful of that, because that's probably going to be a scam. Then I noticed Victoria Police put out a recent alert as well saying, watch out if you receive a call from a number that appears to be the local police station number. And apparently that's going around at the moment, that you get a call. You know how they can disguise the number that they're calling from. So it appears as if you're receiving a call from the local police station, when in fact you may not be. And their advice on that, which is always good to pass on the recommendation or the advice, is saying ask for a reference number, which is true. Police should always have a case number or a reference number to refer to. Yep. I suspect that might stop the potential scammer in their tracks. And if you're really not sure, then call back the actual police station. So hang up and then call the actual police station on their actual landline.
I had one, Peter, where they told me that they were FBI, and I said, well, you idiot, you've rung the wrong country. We don't have an FBI.
That's right. Yes, exactly.
And they hung up pretty quick.
And then on another one, the Australian Federal Police put out a warning as to RATS, R-A-T-S, which I'll explain is what they're saying is it's a cyber plague, basically, where people try to get you to click on a link. So we've sort of, I think, hopefully most of your listeners now are a little bit wary about clicking on links, whether it's on their phone or an attachment to an email or something like that that doesn't look right. Although, to be fair, they're probably getting better and better at trying to make it look legitimate. And if you do happen to click on the attachment or the link, then unfortunately you're probably risking having a remote access Trojan or a rat downloaded into your phone or your computer. And then they can start harvesting your information, which is obviously a major concern.
Oh, that's true. Peter, pardon me, have you had one from MyGov saying that there's stuff in the MyGov box?
Yes, to be honest with you, I have not been able to reinstate my MyGov for a number of years after the original, the spoof one. I think there was a spoof MyGov address or something.
Right.
So they shut it down, and I haven't been able to re-establish it. And part of that is, unfortunately, your driver's license only counts for 50 points now. So
does it?
You've basically got to have a passport. And if you're someone like me that doesn't really travel overseas, I don't have a current passport and haven't had one for 20 years or something.
Neither do I.
And then to get a passport, I know there's so many delays in people getting passports, probably because they have to try and identify themselves for banking or other purposes. And then I noticed then also that they put the price up for applying for a passport, or you can pay a little bit extra to have it expedited or something. So, yeah, there's always angles, isn't there?
Yeah, there's always someone out there. Peter, I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go where we want to. Do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless. There's always something new. Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation. Something to say. Oh. Anytime or anywhere, just look over your shoulder. Guess who'll be standing there? Hey, hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Just a reminder that at 2 o'clock I'll be off the air today because Council Connections will be in and they'll be talking all about the different things about the Arrow Valley between 2 and 3, and of course between 3 and 5 we've got Greg coming in with a terrific show called the Oz Indie Show and all great music that's been I think they've only been released in the last week, so you can't get any better than that. Peter, refund and returns. We've had a number of questions on that. You've done some homework on that for us.
Yeah, so look, one of my speciality fields is basically retail profit protection, as we've touched on before, and a part of that is...
And we've got a question for you before you go to tell us next week.
Yep. Okie dokie.
Or next month.
Part of that is return and refund fraud, which is... getting a little bit of publicity over the last few days or so, with the background being the spike in this type of fraud can be attributed to a few factors. Flexible return policies post-COVID. So the COVID-19 pandemic fundamentally changed shopping behaviours, pushing more consumers online. And to stay competitive, then many retailers introduced flexible return policies to attract and retain customers. So that's the underlying process from a retailer's mindset is to basically accept returns not without too many questions or without not too many questions. And then what's happened there is instigated mainly through the dark web, villains have come up with a way of making hay while the sun shines with this kind of return refund fraud. And basically I noticed one of the experts' comment was, and if something works, then they just keep doing it until it is stopped.
Till you guys get onto it.
Yeah, and we've touched on that before about if there's a trend, whether it's credit card fraud or some sort of weakness in a security system or a physical security system, they'll just keep belting it until something gets done about it. The further comment was made that it's very well organised. It's only probably a small number of regular or persistent perpetrators, but it's a high dollar value, which obviously then reflects in the retailer's bottom line and obviously then reflects on the final cost of the consumer. So things that are getting targeted, Alan, are latest electronic products, high-end fashion and beauty products. So probably not much use for you and I, Alan. But,
not much good for me, the last one.
And so what? One of the things that they do is they purchase a new product and then switch the product out for a lesser value product. So one of the examples I think used was I think it was an iPad. So they bought a new iPad online and paid whatever a new iPad's worth, probably a couple of $1,000, switched it out with a used and abused iPad, and then returned with the receipt, obviously, so claiming it was the original, the new iPad, and getting a full refund. So that was one example that was shown. And then sometimes even just swapping out for something that weighs about the same. And I am familiar with this, that they take something back in that weighs about the same. So if the person at the counter picks it up and sort of holds and goes, oh, yeah, that seems about right. And then basically under the full change of mind refund policy, they basically get away with returning or receiving a refund for the full amount when, in fact, they're not returning the original new item, yeah.
Peter, have you heard of one that I've got to be careful what I say because I don't want to identify the type of company involved, but they told me that at times somebody will come in, they'll buy a something, and they'll go away and they'll use it for the weekend, and then they'll bring it back, and having done the job with it, sometimes covered in all sorts of stuff, and then say, oh, no, it didn't do what I wanted, and because there's this almost automatic refund, they've done their job and they've got their money back. Have you heard of that happening?
Yeah, definitely. And also, of course, remember that there were warranties provided for possibly the things you're talking about, and they can be as long as, 2, 3, 5, even 7 years. So if you were smart, I guess you could run something into the ground for just short of the warranty and then take it back and say, well, your product didn't last, I'd like a full replacement or a full refund. That's terrible. I suspect there's a portion of people that would actually do that, and they're refreshing their tools of trade, in inverted commas, by doing that kind of thing. So
it's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. So the comment was made that it was believed about 20% of approved refunds were actually a sham. I don't know where that number came from. Yeah. But they're saying overall it's contributing to the cost of $9 billion per annum.
$9 billion?
That retail crime in Australia costs $9 billion Australian dollars per annum. So that seemed like a scarily high figure to me. And then the final clincher to that was saying out of all the retail crime, they believe only about 10% is actually reported. Well, when you say reported, that probably also means detected. And therefore, in response to that now, The retailers are starting to use AI, artificial intelligence, to try and profile, you know, patterns or persons or returns or whatever, so that they can try and slow it down.
Peter, I've got it's unbelievable, $9 billion. I've just got to take a quick break, and then I'll give you the question to go away next week, half of come back next month. Some of it you'll know straight off, but I'll get you to come back next month with us. But I'll just take this quick break, and we'll be back. This will be our last break then, because at about 1:55, I've got to get out of here to let Greg in, and I'm going to play Pink Floyd, Keep Talking. One of your favourites?
I know the song. Well, not necessarily one of my favourites, but I'm happy to listen to it.
You don't know me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't know me.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. Peter, we've got a question, and I don't want you to go in too deep because you're not going to want to tell us too much. First of all, I should just mention Michael Goodrich and the team from the Council Connections have now entered the building, so they'll be on at 2 o'clock, straight after 2 o'clock news, with their program, and they'll be doing some interviews too. Peter, and I know you can't tell us how you operate, and that's fine, but we've had a question from a listener regarding security guards versus private investigators. Now, they would say the private investigator, you talk a lot about asset protection. Now, we're not asking you how you do it or anything like that. The security guard would say, well, he's doing the same thing. He's standing on the door checking. So they want to know, first of all, legally, whether there's any difference between the two of you, and secondly, without giving things away, how would you operate differently? Obviously, you're not going to stand on the front door with a badge or something and checking bags. So if you could just have a look at it and tell us what you can as to how the different groups would operate.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to be clear, we're both licensed under the same division of Victorian Police. But there are clear and distinctive differences between the services offered and also the powers or lack of powers in the case of a private investigator.
And,
yeah.
And that's what we want to know. If you could let us know that next month.
Absolutely.
Peter, we've still got to be another 8 minutes, so what else have you got? Have you got any other homework or...?
I don't have any homework, but I did see a post a little while ago, which we've had a joke about, I think, in the past, about Neighbourhood Watch have put up a post saying, increase your visibility, decrease crime. And what they're saying there is visibility is a key factor for thieves. So it comes back to the old sensor lights around the house, which they're claiming is quite a deterrent to thieves. And from a private investigator's perspective and snooping around, the invention of sensor lights was the bane of and following on to that, there's actually an article today talking about asking people, or telling people to lock up as theft and burglary are on the rise, saying that thefts and burglaries have skyrocketed to a five-year high across Victoria. The data released by the Crime Statistics Agency revealed a 17% rise in theft and a 14% increase in burglaries across the state of Victoria.
That's a lot.
Victoria also recorded its highest property and deception-related offences since 2017, with almost 300,000 offences recorded in the past year.
Peter, can I just ask you very briefly for the listeners... What's deception? As like you said, you used two words. What was it? Theft and deception. Was that?
Yeah, property and deception. So basically, they're saying that's arson, property damage, burglary, theft, and deception. So deception is basically scamming people for money, I guess, is the easiest way to.
And also, to fill that. Would you? You were talking about return. The refunds and that, where they scam them. That would that become part of that?
Yeah, that's retail deception, I guess, is the easiest way to describe that as well. So the municipalities that had the highest numbers were the City of Melbourne, City of Casey, Greater Geelong, Wyndham, Greater Dandenong, Hume and Brimbank. So the lovely Yarra Valley didn't rate a mention there, which is nice to know.
Because they're all honest people up here.
Oh, okay, salt of the earth. So apparently they're claiming the increase is partly to do with cost of living pressures. So basically that's why crime's increasing. And a lot of that is also stealing from motor vehicles. And then a comment that Geelong had one of the more astounding increases, 12%. And like Bendigo, Greater Bendigo, a slight increase and things like that.
Peter, I don't want to cut across you. Could you... For next time, have a look at, you're talking about theft from motor vehicles. Could you have a look at the correlation between whether the theft from motor vehicles has gone up as much as what the theft of motor vehicles? Because, you know, a lot of these home invasions are knocking off for cars, aren't they? So for next month, could you have a just a bit of a look and see whether they're both gone up or whether the same, or whether there's a lot more cars being knocked off rather than broken into and stuff stolen?
Sure. Yeah, I can look at that. I probably think I know the answer already, but I'll find some stats. Yeah. I would have thought theft of motor vehicle is decreasing, but theft from motor vehicle is increasing. I will confirm that.
See, that's funny, because I would have thought the other way with all these home invasions where they're stealing two cars at different places and that. My personal guess would have been the other way. I'd have thought there were more cars being knocked off and less being broken into.
Yeah, we'll stand to see that.
Look, you're the expert. You're probably right. I'm just saying my perception, I would have thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, I think my perception would be it's generally harder to steal a motor vehicle without accessing the keys, which is the problem with these home invasions, that they're targeting high-value European cars and breaking into the house to get access to the keys to therefore steal the cars.
That's why I drive an older car that no one wants.
You leave unlocked.
No, not really, but...
Yeah. Something else that caught my eye too, Alan, was there. There was an announcement of a class action against insurance companies, or one particular group of insurance companies, which did include the RACV, I noticed. Yeah. And it's to do with this. There's apparently a logarithm. Is it an A logarithm? So there's an A in front of the logarithm. Mm. And basically what they're saying or claiming there under a class action is that the insurance companies make an assumption that the customer is very likely to renew the policy. In other words, I guess they've done that for the last 10 or 20 years.
Right.
So they actually bunk the price up, and it's called what's termed as a loyalty uplift.
Gee, so it used to go the other way, did it?
So rather than getting a discount for being a loyal customer, they're actually making the assumption that as a regular customer or a continuous customer, you're less likely to balk at an increase in premium, or perhaps a premium that's gone down that they don't actually put down. And it's been called out that they've got this what's called loyalty uplift, a logarithm, and they're adjusting the premiums accordingly, which I think that's, I think disgusting is probably the easiest word to describe that.
Yeah, I mean, generally that you... I would have thought that a loyalty program you'd get the major discount because of the fact that you've been loyal. But what you're saying is that sometimes it's going the other way.
Yeah, and the other one too is if you've ever I don't know if any of your listeners have experienced this, but if you ever change suburb or postcode, I've never ever heard of the premium actually going down. It always seems to
go up. Yeah,
it always, wherever you go to, it always seems to be worse. So
it says you've moved the wrong area.
Yeah, well, I actually asked a question on a car policy recently. I said, "Are you telling me, XYZ suburbs worse than this one that's just notorious?" And I didn't get an answer.
So, I was going to say that. Did you get an answer?
No, I didn't get an answer, but I made the point. But anyway.
And we've got another minute and a half.
Basically, which is a little bit in my wheelhouse as well. Unfortunately, business insolvencies are on the increase again, as probably expected. Yep. And there was 1,245 business insolvency appointments in May of 2024, which is a 44% increase on the 866 appointments in May 2023.
Gee, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot. But the thing that came out of that surprised me too, Alan, there's 3.37 million businesses registered in Australia as of May of this year.
Gee, that'd be a lot of mums and dads in there, wouldn't they? Like, working from home and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of sole trader ABN kind of things. But 3.37, that struck me as seemed to be quite a high number.
Yeah. I wonder if that's gone up since COVID. Some people didn't want to go back to work and work and started a home base. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think not too long ago they were actually trying to cull the number of ABNs. People that sort of inactive ABNs were getting called out and asked to or basically deregistered anyway. So if you weren't actively using your ABN. But that was a couple of years ago anyway. So, 3.37, that seems like a very high number to me.
It's a big number, isn't it? True.
Mm.
Peter, look, unfortunately, I've got to go. We've got to let Greg in, and the Council Connections people are all outside trying to push the door down to kick me out. Look, Peter, again, thank you for your time. It's Peter from Absolute Facts, and we really do appreciate the time you give us once a month. So the first Wednesday in August, the old year's kicking on now, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be Christmas soon.
We'll be start talking. I see people start putting that up. Thank you for your time, Peter.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks,
appreciate
bye.
It.
Bye.